The U.S. is banning any smart vacuum from China because it literally maps out exactly where everything is in your house.
Crazy.
Oh, my
crazy.
God.
Yeah. That cord she's holding in her hand, there can be malware just in that cord itself. Yes.
Jeez.
Yes.
Who are the Misfits? Carrie Byron. Tori Belleci. Together more than 20 years, having fun together.
Welcome, Misfits. Thanks for joining us again.
It's another beautiful Monday.
Another beautiful Monday. And hey,
kids
guys,
kids are back in school.
My kid's not back in school yet. She's getting close. Oh. Getting close.
Oh. Right around the corner. Cool. What's up?
I just got back from a crazy cybersecurity conference, which on the way to the cyber conference last year, United got hacked and all of the planes were late. This year, all of a sudden, I'm seeing some sort of like scam about hotel Wi-Fi. It's always just like around this conference, a lot of craziness happens. So I'm really glad we're talking to Cybersecurity Girl today because I feel like I'm becoming totally paranoid and I have no idea how we're supposed to protect ourselves from like threats that are like constantly coming in.
Yeah, you got to turn off your phone. You got to like be worried about all those flock cameras they're putting up.
I feel like I need like a little Faraday cage to walk around with my little phone or like my put it around my house so you can't get in.
Yeah. How's Vegas?
It was fun. So I went out there because I'm working with a cybersecurity company, and what I thought was going to be just like a little corporate video kind of expanded into this bigger project. Let me show you a clip from what we're doing.
How come you're wearing a fire suit?
So I went out to New Mexico Tech because they were like, how do we explain firewalls in a very mythbustery way? And I'm like, okay, well, obviously, we actually build what looks like a firewall using actual fire. And you know how much we love the New Mex Tech guys. I mean, they've got 40 by 40 miles of bomb range. They can basically do anything. And so we showed up with just a regular flamethrower to kind of explain like something in a grand cinematic way. And it was kind of boring. Like it just shot like a regular amount of flame. So of course the New Mex Tech guys, they're like, okay, hold on. We took the tank off and we put the hose directly into the diesel tank and got it up to like almost 300 PSI, blasted this fire into a wall so strong that it created a cloud of fire almost completely around me. Like I couldn't see on either side of me. I was inside the fire because I was doing that Kodak Courage thing where we had firefighters on the side that were like, okay, this is crazy. We're excited to watch this. They're thinking when it gets too dangerous, I'm going to stop. And I'm thinking when it gets too dangerous, they're going to stop me. So by the end of just like blasting all of this diesel straight at a wall that completely surrounds me, I finally get to the point where I'm like, okay, and I stop and I see them. They're like sweating. They're like, whoa, like, we thought you were going to stop way before that. I'm like, what? Wait, why didn't you stop me? This is crazy.
It sounds like really good communication going on out there.
I just got too excited. It was too much fun. And when it was done, I'm like, holy freaking man, Rat, this is awesome.
Oh, Carrie, I remember my first flamethrower. That's cool. Right on.
I missed you out there at New Mex. It just felt like a Mythbuster episode. It felt like you should be there with me. I absolutely.
I never got the call. You never invited me, so I don't know what you're...
Well, maybe if enough people watch the video, we'll get a bigger budget, and it'll be like, obviously, I need my partner in crime.
Oh, that would be... Oh, my God.
Right? Right?
So cool. So cool.
What have you been up to?
God, this week was car week in Monterey, and it was just nonstop. Holy some of the craziest cars I've ever seen, like cars that I never even knew existed. It was really cool. And then I was hanging out with the DDE guys, Daily Driven Exotics. I met them on the Gumball Rally. They're so chill. So it was like the opposite of when people meet us, like you're just like you are on the show because we were just being ourselves. These guys have like a complete persona on YouTube. And as soon as the cameras are off, they're just like, oh yeah. So anyway, what you live here? And they're just so mellow, so chill. But as soon as the cameras come on, they're like, okay, bad boys, let's go. But yeah, I was up close to the Joby. Are you familiar with the Joby flying car?
Tell me more.
It takes off like a drone, but then when it's at altitude, the props change direction, and then they're like more like an airplane. So it's a lot more efficient, and it's kind of like we're getting our flying car. It was pretty rad.
So Jensen's.
It's going to be rad. I mean, it's going to change how people travel, and I'm very excited.
So you were at Car Week doing things with cutting edge tech. I was at cybersecurity. I feel like we're like super tech forward on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this is fun. Oh, I'm really excited for our guest today. Caitlin Sarian, I met her just online because I just thought her
feed you was stalked really her. You stalked her on Instagram.
Yeah, I stalked her on Instagram. I was just, you know, she seemed really cool and she's smart. And I was going to a cybersecurity conference and I'm like, hey, we should meet up. And it turns out she was coming to the premiere of this OpSWAT Into the Breach. If you guys are looking for it on YouTube, Into the Breach with Gary Byron.
Wait a minute. I heard you had a premiere for this infomercial.
That's where I met her. They did a thing where they invited everybody. There was an open bar. There was a bunch of free food. They were screening. They've been screening this thing all over the world, trying to like start. I think they want this to be like a for real series. So they already started working on episode 2. And hopefully I'll get to blow some more stuff up.
Cool. I like fire. I like blowing stuff up. Okay. That's awesome. Right on. All right. Well, why don't you guys stick around? Caitlin is going to come on and she's got a lot of very practical, useful information to protect yourself online, protect yourself from getting scammed. You're not going to want to miss this episode. Carrie, how have your finances changed since, let's say, you were a kid till now that you're a grown adult?
I work really hard at as many jobs as I possibly can because I like to make money.
So you're a work harder, not smarter kind of gal.
I mean, when it is...
I'm just messing with you. Well, guess what? You're in luck. Because we have partnered with Monarch.
Maybe I will be able to teach my kid how to be smarter and not have to work harder like I did.
What we love about Monarch is it shows people where their money is going. For example, if a large percentage of their money is going to online shopping, they'll be able to spot it.
Was that a dig specifically at me?
You got a problem? You got a little problem with online shopping?
Monarch's AI assistant can help you get really specific with what information you need from your finances. You can ask things like, can I afford concert tickets considering how much online shopping that I've been doing? Or how much did I spend on delivery apps so that I wouldn't have to do cooking this month? And wow, did I spend a lot?
Monarch's bill split feature makes splitting the check simple and stress-free. Just scan the receipt, have everyone claim what they ordered, and settle up all in one place. No separate app needed.
Write your own money story with Monarch. Use code MYTHFITS at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50.
That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code MYTHFITS.
All right, MythFits, welcome Caitlin. She's best known as Cybersecurity Girl, a top cybersecurity influencer with over 1.2 million followers. Her mission is to educate the public on online safety, attract people to cybersecurity, and inspire women to pursue STEM careers. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
It's so nice to meet you. Now, you and Carrie have known each other for a little bit. Is that correct?
Sort of. I've known of her online when I was looking for smart women to talk to about anything STEM related. And obviously, I've been doing a little bit of cybersecurity dabbling. But we met for the first time at a cybersecurity conference that we just got back from.
At the OpSWAT premiere. It was great. I saw Carrie in action with her Mythbuster everything. And she actually was able to explain cybersecurity in such a way, like an easy way. I was like, she's doing my job for me. So I can just step back and like Carrie take the lead on this one.
She's good at that. She's good at that.
I think good is an understatement, honestly.
Aw, I love this mutual admiration society. More of this, please.
Now, how did you get into this field?
Super randomly. I did aerospace engineering, which also got in super randomly, which that is a whole nother story in itself. But so I did aerospace engineering in college and graduate school. And I had like, I was really lucky. I got internships starting my sophomore year, which is like crazy. But I had like three different types of internships in mechanical and aerospace engineering, all in different fields, alternative energy. I worked in an oil refinery, literally like wearing steel-toed boots and a hard hat and coveralls. I worked in pharmaceuticals. And then I was like, I don't know. I'm so curious about everything. I get really bored. And so all these jobs were incredible. I loved every single part of it. But I was like, can I see myself at this job in 10 years? And my answer was always like, I don't think so. Like, I think I'm going to get bored after two. And when I was applying to do tech consulting at all like the big four and other consulting companies, I got an offer from EY and they're like, hey, would you be interested in cyber? And in my head, I'm like, well, they don't know that I had to take two coding classes in college, MATLAB, and I was terrible. Like those two classes and physics two were like, I barely scraped by and it was really only because I went to office hours and they just felt bad for me. But I did the interview like really bad. They're like, I don't know what we could do it with you anymore. Like I sat in the front of the class I was a teacher's pet and I still could not figure it out. And so I didn't want to tell them, obviously, because when you're applying to jobs, you're like, yeah, sure. That sounds really interesting. And I went home and I told my parents and they were like, I mean, that's like the next way. This is, again, 13 or 14 years ago at the time. So a long time ago. This is like before cybersecurity was even like talked about in any way, shape, or form. But it kind of kept nailing in my head. Like, I was really intrigued. And I was like, you know, if I don't like it, I can always change and go back into tech consulting and do the rotations. And so I decided to get in and I learned everything on the job and I never looked back. And being constantly curious in cyber, it's like the best thing ever because it's constant, like every day it's changing. Every day it's in the news. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas in cyber. I have not touched a piece of code. And then I decided during COVID, I might as well just start this channel and tell people, like, you don't have to be a coder to get into cyber. You don't have to be some freaky genius. Like, I remember going on dates and every guy was like, are you going to hack into my phone? And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. Like,
I mean, the general public follows you because, I mean, cybersecurity is a very niche field. But what you do is small tips that help everyday people figure out how to protect themselves. I think more and more people are interested in, like, the small things that they can do every day. Because yeah. Like every tip that you've given me, especially going back to school, you put this video out of kids who are putting up a sign that's like, Stella, first day, senior year, favorite color, favorite pet, like, you know, that they've basically, parents have been doing this every single year since they were in kindergarten and basically broadcasting all of your kids' information, possible pet, you know, passwords they might have because they have all of these small little facts. That is not something that I ever thought about.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is like, you're totally right. And okay, first I'm going to dissect if cybersecurity is really niche. It's actually not. It's huge. Like there's so many areas of cyber. And I think that's really interesting for people to understand. It's like pretty much everything that we do every day with any piece of technology, even if it's not physically connected to the internet now, it will be eventually. Like even our smart vacuums, fun fact, like the U.S. is banning any smart vacuum from China because it literally maps out exactly where everything is in your house.
Crazy.
Oh, my
crazy.
God.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's everything has a camera on it.
Everything has a camera. Everything's connected. Like there's no part of our life, like in literally unless you live under a rock that you don't need cyber at this point in time. So it's not that niche anymore. But yes, like those simple tips, like, are so helpful because we have a million things going on. And honestly, we don't think about it. Like when the internet first came out, we're like, let's make every account. I want to be present. I want to share. I want to show everyone. Like that's what it was. I mean, like MySpace, now MySpace is coming back, fun fact, and I'm very excited about
yeah, right.
it really is. It's coming. They're like bringing it
you
back.
You got to figure out who your top friends are.
Top eight, man. That caused a lot of drama in junior high and high school, I will say. But yeah, so obviously we are in a world of sharing. We never thought anything of it. And now we're like, oh, we really need to stop. We need to stop sharing. And actually the term for sharing for parents is sharenting.
Like sharenting. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I just did some research on it like a couple weeks ago. And like sharenting will be the cause of like a lot of identity theft in the future. I forgot what the percentage is.
Where parents are just putting their kids out there on online against their will, right?
Yeah. So there's always going to be scams. There's always going to be issues. But there's like probably 10 things that people can do that will like lower, like drastically lower their chance of getting scammed or having issues or identity theft. And that's like, honestly, almost every video comes back to the same thing. So like the kids stuff, I'm like, okay, you don't want identity theft for your kids. Obviously, like AI stuff, that's a whole thing. And physical security, that's a thing in itself. But for identity theft for kids, you can like freeze your kids' credit. Like my sister just had a kid. I'm not going to say how long ago it was, but like I was like, freeze her credit. Like they do not need their credit open right now. You're not opening any accounts in their name. And when you do, you can unfreeze it for 10 minutes and then freeze it back. So freeze their credit because a lot of times kids are like the biggest risks for identity theft because you're sharing all the information about them. And then, I mean, I've even seen some people like share their kid's birth certificate. And I was like,
oh God, no.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because they didn't want to, the weird thing is they didn't want to share a picture of their child, but they shared that as like a announcement. I'm like, oh, I like A for effort, but like that was not a good idea.
Check out how cute their passport photo is.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, because the issue is a lot of people, you're not ever tracking your kid's credit. So hackers like love that. They're like, they're going to be able to do whatever they want for 18 years until you realize and it's going to be too late. And then you're going to open your kid's account. And same with like elderly, like a lot of, you're not tracking your elderly parents. I hate saying elderly, but, you know, people that need a little bit more help. Like I told my mom that she should lock down my grandma's credit. Like she's not opening another credit card. There's no reason. She's not having a home mortgage. There's like, there's nothing for her to have a reason to have the open credit. And fun fact, when you freeze your credit, you can still use all your credit cards. Like freezing your credit means nothing. You go on your daily like life. You can use all the stuff that you already have. You just can't open any more accounts in their name. So I always tell people like, yeah. So you just freeze it and then you won't have to worry about it.
Well, we had a guy here where I'm from. He did like 4 or 5 years for going to the obituary and finding people who have just died and taken those names and gotten credit cards. And like they made a killing. Like it was working, but they got greedy. And then finally somebody found out who these guys were and they all got caught. But you would just go to the obituary, see who died, take out a credit card in that name.
That's wild. I mean, and I heard so many scams about like when people die, they have like fake mortuary people that like come up or like give us this money and we'll send you like a headstone. It's like not like I've heard so many like kind of like death scams because you're so vulnerable. Scams are completely a psychological thing. It has nothing to do with tech. Absolutely nothing. The only thing that has anything to do with tech is like email scams where you're like wanting to click. But in the end, it's still your psychologically like driven, like they know what to say to get you to react. And so if you're able to kind of step back and start noticing the signs and even communicating those signs to like everyone else in your family, right? Like you would never think, oh, there's a mortuary scam, right? Like, why would you think that? I'm always telling people like, if you get scammed, like, please share that. Like, I know it's freaking embarrassing for people. And I don't understand really why, like, we should be sharing this because the more you share, like you're going to help your community more because they start realizing, oh, it could happen to me. And these are some of the things that could happen to me. And like, this is like the criteria that it could happen to me in.
I feel like I am pretty aware of all this stuff going on because my dad did talk to a Nigerian prince for a minute. And like, I've seen all of this stuff happen through history.
How's he doing, by the way, the Nigerian prince?
Oh, my dad actually just kept him on the line just to chat with him. He never gave him anything, but he just like annoyed him out of scamming him any further because that my dad's a talker. But I mean, us, when we were starting MythFits podcast and I was trying to get the trademark for MythFits podcast, there are bots attached to the government site that instantly sends out something that looks just like it came from them that said, urgent. We are reviewing your application. This is the attorney looking at it. Call this number so that we can complete the transaction. And it looks so official. I called the number. And then after a while, they're like, you need to send this payment. And I was like starting to freak out. I'm like, oh my God, they have all of our information because you put it into the site. The bots are scraping that. And I was just like, okay, I'm falling for this. I know everybody's falling for this, or a lot of people are going to fall for this. And I feel like there's so many little just grenades out there? Like, what else are things that we should be avoiding to keep ourselves safe?
Yeah, I mean, so what I try to do is I never give out my personal details unless it's like absolutely necessary, like absolutely necessary. Like if I have to get something shipped to me, I don't even give my name. I just give my address. If it's my address, it's going to my thing. But like creating all these online accounts, like you don't need to give your birthday everywhere. You don't need to sign up for all of these like, you know, rewards programs. Like how many times are you, and like, unless it's like a coffee shop that you go to like all the time, like, is it necessary? I just try to limit my attack surface is what we call it. Like I take a risk-based approach and I really try to not share my information as much as possible. Like even, yeah, I just don't share it.
So that's but one. Caitlin, it's too late. My grocery store already has it. My pharmacy already has it. Like, what am I going to do now that everybody already has it because I've already given it to them?
Yeah. So the other thing I do is like every few months I start like looking at like what emails I'm getting and like what text messages or calls or whatever alerts I'm getting from these companies. And I'm like, do I need these? And if I don't, I'll like physically log into whatever store that is or site that is. And I'll ask them to delete my my entire thing. You don't just delete the app. You can't do that. Your information is still there. The other thing is there's a lot of stuff in the US with data brokers. Like they constantly, those are like companies that basically buy your data from all these places, like all these free apps and websites and games, and they kind of compile like a marketing profile, usually a marketing profile on you. The issue is it's free and or like pennies on the dollar to get anyone's information for free. Like you can spend $5 for the month and look up as many people's information as possible. All you need is like either their phone number, even their first and last name. You can get everything. Some of them, you can even get their IP address, which is like a whole nother issue. So I actually go and remove my information from data brokers. I hired a company because I like, obviously I'm in the public eye. I don't want my information out there, but there's like three or four main data brokers, like White Pages, True People Search, Spokio. There's one, I think there's one other one in the US that I would just go and remove yourself from it. And the issue is you have to do it once a month, but I would just do it once a month or more. Or not more.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot. It takes like 10 minutes. If you're into AI, people are learning how to like make an AI Claude bot for it. The other thing is like, if you don't want to do any of that, just don't answer your phone from unknown numbers. That's it. I never answer my call, like a phone number. I don't know. I also don't have my voicemail, like a personal greeting. I have like the standard greeting. Because here's what happens. Like, bad actors, not just like hackers or scammers or whatever, bad actors get a list of phone numbers. And their main job is one, to see if that phone number is active. And two, to confirm if they have the right person so they can know that if you're going to be a good target or not. And whether you're going to be a target or not, like they just want, like hackers don't care who you are, they just want money, right? Scammers don't care who you are, they just want money. So everyone's like, why would it happen to me? It doesn't matter. Like, would you think that a burglar was going to like a burglarize a house that has locks or no locks? Like, they don't care. If you're an easy target, you're an easy target. So I just remove the opportunity to even get scammed altogether. Like, I literally, I'm like, if someone knows me, they know that that's my number. They'll leave a message if it's urgent or they'll text me or they'll get a hold of me on some other platform and it'll be fine. If I don't know this person, they're not going to leave a voicemail and I don't get scammed. Most people do not need to answer the phone with unknown numbers. You just don't need it.
We did a lot of Mythbuster myths with jeans. There was that time that you had to use the gondola like a zip line with a pair of jeans. There was even a time we tried to figure out if jeans on an airplane, if they were super duper skinny tight, if they'd kill you. I feel like at that time, we could have used your perfect jeans.
I wonder if Perfect Jeans has ever tested dragging their jeans behind a horse in dirt to see if they catch on fire. I think we need to retest that with Perfect Jeans. But I do. I'm honestly love these jeans.
Perfect Jeans are comfortable, versatile, stylish, and flattering. Just ask Tori. Do a little spin for us.
I'm not your monkey. You're not going to make me dance. But you know what I do love about these? It's you can work in them. Mm-hmm. Like I remember on Mythbusters, jeans would be constricting. You know, you wanted something that was rugged. These jeans have that, but they also stretch a little bit. So it's like you can maneuver while you're working. That's what I love about these jeans.
They're actually not expensive. So you're not going to break the bank. Whereas I feel like we went through clothes constantly. Well, maybe that's because we were dragging you behind a horse.
You guys are in luck because our listeners are getting 15% off their first order plus free shipping at theperfectgene.nyc or Google The Perfect Gene and use code MythFits15 for 15% off. Do yourself a favor. You're gonna love these jeans. Now, what if you're getting an email or a text message from a bank saying, we need you to take action, otherwise we're going to freeze your account? What are the things to look for in that email or that text message to verify whether or not this is actually from the bank?
Yeah. Well, there's like a whole campaign of like banks don't ask that. Like they never ask you to like share your authenticator code. They're not going to call you like and ask all these things unless you specifically ask them. So if I ever get an email or a phone call, even if it says like from whatever, like, you know, let's say I own a house and it's like a loan service, I never answer. I will never, ever answer. I will immediately delete the voicemail. I will look on the back of my credit card, my bank card, or I will go to the actual website. Don't just Google it. I will actually go to the website of the mortgage company that I have, find the number and call them and say, hey, I think I got a missed call from you. I don't know why I would have been getting a call from you, but like, is there something wrong with my account? I will never click on any links in the emails. I honestly ignore any like bank email. Go to the actual website. Don't go to the Google review because there's like prompt injecting with the AI, which we can talk about later. A lot of like the AI summaries can be tampered with and fake. And that's, we've already seen that in like live, like in the wild, meaning like hackers are basically injecting certain code into certain websites for the AI to scan and then be like, this is the right number for Chase. When in reality, it's literally the hacker's number.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Yeah,
so you can't Google Chase customer contact and it could be a fake number?
Yes, yeah. You have to go to Chase. You have to go to the website.
Now, you know, we were talking about, you know, giving up your information voluntarily through social media or, you know, applications. But like, what about stuff that is against your will? Like, let's say like flock cameras. Like that's like a huge issue right now where there's flock cameras everywhere. And you don't even know that they're like identifying you, facial recognition, they're tracking your phones. How do you protect yourself from that?
Yeah. So it's pretty hard. I fly like every week, at least twice a week. I'm in an airport. And it's not just flock. I mean, it's like anything in the airport too. I actually have these like biometric glasses. They're like lenses that actually reflect near infrared light. And that's how a lot of face tracking is done. So like if I wear them, my phone won't open, like the Face ID won't open. It makes me feel a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, we live in a very surveillance world, but I want to kind of flip the coin a little bit. So there are certain countries that are heavily surveillance, but a lot safer. Like Dubai, for example, heavily surveillance. Like they know if you litter and they will find you and send you a ridiculous astronomical bill. Like it's insane. So I think it's really interesting. Like we live in the US where we're like supposed to be free, but then we also want, like we want certain things where we're like, oh, like, you know, why weren't we able to track who this person is? We have cameras everywhere. So it's like, where do we want? Like, would we rather live in like a heavily surveillanced, you know, country where you can't get away with anything, but we're also being tracked constantly? Or would we rather have like the opposite? Or are we somewhere in the middle? I think right now, we used to be somewhere in the middle up until a couple of years ago. I think right now we're leaning toward, I mean, you also can see this in the UK too. The surveillance is wild in the UK and no one ever talks about it. I think it's really weird. And they still have a lot of crime. So I don't know what's going on over there. But
right, so it's not really working.
It's not like working out for them. I don't know. But I think there's only so much you can do. And I always say as a cybersecurity person, everything is a risk-based approach. Are the flock cameras bothering me? No. Will they potentially protect me if something happened? I hope so. I think yes. I don't know. Like, again, some people have obviously I see all the Instagram and everything of like people like tearing down flocks or like
trying
like the laser thing. Also, the laser thing does not work, by the way. I was going to go through a whole rabbit hole. Carrie, I feel like you should do this. Like myth bust the laser flock situation. It doesn't actually work.
Yeah.
does not do anything. But and also Flock is like the biometric tracking glasses are wouldn't work for Flock cameras anyways. They don't use near infrared light. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I think it's really interesting to like have people start understanding like surveillance versus non-surveillance and like the positives and also the negatives. Like we want to be free, but at the same time, if someone robbed a bank or like robbed your house, wouldn't you want to use those Flock cameras to figure out who did it, like where they were driving? Probably. You don't want like to be like, oh, we have nothing. Good luck. So I think it just depends on your risk. I think it just depends. It's a risk-based decision for everyone.
Can I bring you back to some just like simple myths about protecting yourself in cybersecurity?
Yeah.
For one, is it a myth that Apple devices cannot be hacked?
It's a myth. Apple devices can be hacked. They are a lot harder to hack, but they can be hacked. And also your definition of hacked is different, right? Like if you click on a phishing link and you input your Apple credentials, then you're going to get, someone's going to get in no matter what. So there's like a phishing attacks and like simply logging in. And I think a lot of people get confused with like what a hack is, right? Like most of the time nowadays, because we make it really easy for hackers, it's honestly just like open source intelligence, like finding information about you and making very targeted emails against you and like having you fall for it. We always joke like hackers don't hack in. Most of the time they just log in with your reused credentials. So that's the other thing. But yes, it's definitely a myth. Like Apple devices can be hacked into, but they are harder than most PCs.
Are you safe using airplane, airport, and hotel Wi-Fis?
I don't think so. Depending on what you, I mean, I don't ever do anything sensitive on those Wi-Fis at all. I think if you ask other like hackers or cybersecurity professionals, you'll get different answers. And that's because this can happen, but have we seen it in the wild? Like, are hackers actively exploiting public Wi-Fi? The main answer is no, right? Because most of our sites are actually encrypted. If you go to any website right now, it's HTTPS. S stands for secure. That means the website's encrypted. So almost all, our entire internet, at least in the US, is encrypted. So even if you're going on public sites, if someone tries to hack in, or public Wi-Fi, if someone tries to hack in, the gateway between your websites are encrypted. However, let's just say you're in Starbucks and you're trying to connect to Starbucks Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi, right? You can connect to Starbucks Wi-Fi, but what happens if there's two Starbucks Wi-Fis? What happens if there's like a Starbucks Wi-Fi and then there's Starbucks free Wi-Fi and they look the same, you go to the same login page and you go in? That evil twin is actually going to a hacker's phone.
So that's how they get you.
Yeah. I wanted you to get to that because on the way to the
convention,
security
it was leaving the convention.
Russian hackers had duped a bunch of hotel Wi-Fi, so it looked like the same page. So you're like, I'm at the Marriott free Wi-Fi. Okay, yeah. I'm going to log in. And they were getting your information because it looked the same.
Yeah. And that's what's happening is like they actually, FBI was put out a warning about being careful about logging into any hotel Wi-Fis because that was happening with all the Russian hackers. I don't know if it was fully confirmed Russian hackers or whoever it is, we have a lot of countries that don't like us right now. So we're a target. but they're also like someone when they were leaving DEF CON, I don't know if you heard about this, on Delta airplane, they jammed the Delta Wi-Fi router and they put their own Delta free Wi-Fi on board. It was like a flight from Las Vegas to Atlanta, which also is wild because they know exactly who's on the flight. So you're pretty much you're not getting away with.
Right. So you have to be in proximity.
You have to be in proximity of the person that's trying to get in. Not necessarily.
Oh, man.
Not with, like, the Wi-Fi.
It gets worse.
If it's set up, like, you don't have to, like, someone else can connect.
Okay.
Maybe one person has to be there to set it up in the proximity, but once it's set up, they can leave.
And then tell me how they're getting your information. So let's say you're in the Starbucks and they put up a fake Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi.
Well, you're going through their Wi-Fi, so they see everything that you're going on and going through.
So as you're on your computer, they're basically just, they can see everything that you're looking at.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tori, can I just totally freak you out? This is one of the things that I learned when I was...
This episode's depressing me.
I mean, every time I go on anything, they're like, well, I'm going to put some tinfoil on my hat and my head, I'm just going to go into a corner and die. And I'm like, that's not the point.
I'm just going to unplug and check out. See you guys later.
The reason that I met Caitlin is because we were promoting this like informational cybersecurity video that I was doing, and it was like, what is a firewall? The next one we were working on is called Peripheral Media, and I was learning so many things that were just breaking my brain. Like, you probably have a box of cords and USBs and all kinds of things that you might plug into your computer just like sitting there, and you probably can tell me like where you got that little USB, where you got that cord. That cord she's holding in her hand, there could be malware just on that. So say you picked one up off of somebody's desk or like, you know, just borrowed one from somebody. There can be malware just in that cord itself. How crazy is that?
So how can you detect if a cable has malware in it?
You really won't be able to detect. What I always do
until your account is drained.
Yeah, until you're done and you're dead in the dirt. No, no. What I always do, honestly, is, and again, some hackers are going to be upset that I say this because they're like, it's not in the wild yet. Like we haven't. It can happen, but it's not in the wild. I don't ever plug into like USB plugs. Like I have a wall plug for this.
Yes.
If you use a wall plug, it's different.
Oh my God.
So don't put your cable directly into, say, the airport little boxes. Use the charger port. Don't use a wall plug port. Yeah.
I get a lot of hate for that. People are like from the hacker community, like it hasn't been, you know, found in real life. And I'm like, yeah, but it can happen. And it's probably happening. And just because we haven't scanned every single USB in every, you know, public area doesn't mean it's not exist. I think it's an easy way to exist.
If you see a USB on the ground that says like nudes or payroll, don't get curious and go plug that in to see if that's on it. Like that could be something.
I'd be curious, but at the end of the day, it's not worth it.
Plug it on your friend's computer.
Yeah.
Okay. Another scam that I heard, tell me if this is remotely true, is when you go to gas stations and you tap your card versus put your card in, it's a possibility that a scammer could have put something on top of the legitimate tap spot and it can take your information. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. He's called a scammer.
Ah!
Yeah.
So what do you do?
We live in a weird world.
Well, isn't it like it's usually something they place on the front of the reader. And if you can jiggle it free, then it's probably a scam.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my little trick around it. I use Apple Pay or Android Pay or whatever, Google Pay, whatever you have. Because when you use a wallet from a device, you're not actually giving your card details. So the way that it connects to each other is like, is this person Caitlin? Yes, this person's Caitlin. Okay. Now we know she's good for her money rather than here's all the credit card details. So when you use a full physical credit card, you're actually like sharing your full physical credit card details.
Right.
Whereas an Apple wallet has a different way of proving you are who you say you are and showing like sharing and accepting, if that makes sense. So I just use Apple Pay everywhere. I had a whole video of like why I don't use physical cards anymore. I'm like either Apple Pay or cash. I don't know. That's all I got. And it's mostly Apple Pay. I don't even think I think I carry around $20 in my wallet and that's all I got.
These are really good tips. Do you have like a top three cybersecurity girl tip that we should be implementing on a regular basis?
Passwords. Super important. Yes. No, it's super annoying. I want to literally pick up my computer and chuck it against the wall every time I say passwords because it's annoying and no one likes it. And everyone knows that it's a risk, but they're like, it's okay. We'll take the risk. Don't take the risk. Like,
so keep the same one since you're in college. Is that what you're trying to say?
Keep the same one, but maybe add a one after, or two, three,
oh,
or maybe
that's
an exclamation point.
They won't get
it. Yeah, so smart, right? No one will ever guess. They will guess, okay? They already know. So here's what I like to say. Key accounts, like obviously we have, I couldn't tell you how many accounts we have, like probably hundreds, if not like some people might have thousands, they don't even realize. Four key accounts, health, bank account, for me, social media, work accounts. You want to make sure those are completely unique and strong passwords. And when I say unique, I mean, don't use the same one that you had in high school and then add a one or two or three or one, two, three or an exclamation point. And I know a million people do that. But what happens is when your credentials, your username and password go on the dark web, which I guarantee you they already have, especially if you've been using them for 5+ years. there's algorithms hackers can use to take those and make 10,000 variations of that password to try to get into your account. So there's that. Passwords are so important. So I always say, like, do that. Multi-factor authentication, second form. So even if they get your password, if you turn on multi-factor authentication, that means that you are needing two forms or multi-forms of authenticating you are who you say you are. So that means a text to your phone, a call, or an authenticator app. Super annoying, I know, but identify the key accounts and make sure that's turned on. Because again, even if they have the password, they will need the second form of authentication and never, never, never share that to anyone. Even if you're like, you think your best friend is needing help and they were like, hey, can you just send me your authenticator code? It's always a scam. No one will ever ask you for your authenticator code unless you're like physically logging in. So those are the two. Three, honestly, would be like continue to update your software and turn on auto updates. Those are like the top three. Because when you don't update your software, you're just leaving massive holes in your technology that anyone can get into. And like once the software is updated, like hackers are then alerted, hey, there's an issue. So let's see who hasn't patched it and who we can get in. Those are the main ones. Obviously, we talked about a million other things like freezing your credit, I think is super important. Limit the amount of data that you have and just don't answer the phone. And I always use Apple Pay. But
what about your phone? Is it constantly listening to you?
Yes. It's in the fine print of everything.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's the thing. I think it always is. But of course, they don't say that technically, like from a privacy perspective. They're not like, we're always listening. If you have Siri turn on, it is actually always listening as an iPhone user. I don't know what the other one is for. What's Android's version of Siri? I don't know. Does anyone know?
No.
Anyways,
hey, Google. I don't use those ridiculous phones.
Yeah. So neither do I. But if you have any of those on, it's always listening to you. The other thing is when people don't realize is every time you download an app, it asks for permission for your microphone, usually your location, sometimes your camera. You can actually go on. This is another tip I always tell people. Go on your phone and see what apps have access to what and turn it off. They don't need to listen to you. So I'm taking a risk-based approach. I'm making sure that the apps that I do have, whatever needs access to my microphone, actually, I don't even think any apps have, besides WhatsApp, I don't think any apps have access to my microphone at all. Location, most of them say always allow. I do not. Even with like Ubers or Lyft, I'm like, only allow when I'm on the app will you see my location.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
One thing I've done for a long time is I generally don't post where I'm at until I've left that place, because I feel like I've seen a million stories of a YouTuber, a celebrity, or somebody leaving home being like, hey, look at me, I'm at the Super Bowl, and somebody robs their house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what people don't realize is there's two sides of a scam, right? They can use that information to scam you or like, you know, physical security with you, any of that. But they can also use that information to scam other people. And I'll explain that a little bit. So obviously, we're talking about physical security. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm at the Super Bowl. Everyone knows I'm not home. So let's go burglarize their house. But what happens if they're like, you know, you're like, I'm on a flight. I'm going on a flight. What they can do is call your loved ones. They know that you can't answer. You're out. And this actually happens. Like, this is happening. So people are like, I'm going on a flight too, whatever. Let's just say Jamaica. Let's be fun. And you go off grid till you're flying to Jamaica for however many hours it is. Let's just say five. They know you're on a flight. So they're going to start using that information to try to extort or scam or whatever your loved ones. And again, all of this information is online. It is all public knowledge. You could go online, or you used to be able to go online, see what my parents' name is and their phone number. They could call my parents and say, pretend to be me or say they have me. And then my parents wouldn't be able to authenticate if it's true because I'm offline. I'm off grid. So there's multiple ways like they can use that information to scam you. Or like, for example, if I say I'm at a Marriott property in Jamaica, I leave. They call the Marriott property pretending to be me. Like they can use whatever I've shared against other people too. So it's not just scamming me personally. It could be scamming other people using the information they have on me.
Wow.
Well, now I think Tori and I have a long list of things that we're going to do when we get off of this call. We're going to go freeze our kids' credits. We're going to go change all of our passwords. I'm definitely going to
get a flip phone. I'm reverting back to a flip phone.
I think we should. I bring back like the BlackBerry and Palm Pilot, honestly. Right?
This has been so eye-opening because a lot of the stuff you just take for granted or you don't even really think about it. So thank you for kind of making everybody aware and maybe a little bit more paranoid.
Hopefully not paranoid. I'm wanting to like empower people to realize like what's going on and then kind of making the subtle shifts, which I hate posting every day. I'm like, why do I have to be in everyone's face every day? But I'm like, it's just all I want is takes a minute. Little tips. Even if you did like one tip every month, I don't care.
Caitlin, where can everybody find you online so that they can start following you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally cybersecurity girl pretty much everywhere. No space in between. X, I don't really have account. I mean, I do, but it's not cybersecurity girl. But I'll let you guys find it yourself because it's just not a big presence on X. But everywhere else, cybersecurity girl.
Thank you, awesome. Caitlin.
Hey, Tori.
What's up, Carrie?
Are you ready for sweater weather?
Sweater weather.
It's time for sweater weather.
I know. I'm so excited. Halloween's right around the corner. It's time to put on some warm clothes.
You've been bragging lately about your Quince sweater. You going to get more?
I actually want to get like, they got these really cool like pea coats.
Ooh, I got to go cruise the site. I didn't see those yet. Actually, was looking the other day. They've got more than just clothes. I mean, they've got everything from like bedding to cookware.
I have been looking at the bedding because I was like, if the bedding is as comfortable as the clothes are, I'm probably going to love it.
Quince specializes in everyday staples like your classic white tee or the perfect tank top or obviously sweater weather sweaters. Just all of those staples. It really focuses on having fewer items that are just better pieces.
It's time to upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app exclusive offers or go to quince.com/mythfits.
Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK. That's quince.com/mythfits.
Support us by supporting them and making yourself look awesome. Okay, welcome back. Now do you guys feel secure? You feel like you can protect your family and yourself from getting scammed? I hope so. I don't know about you, Carrie, but I'm a tiny bit more paranoid than I was before talking to her.
I know there's definitely that checklist of things to do. I'm freezing credit the second we get off of here and checking some passwords. Like those were actually really good tips. Like some nuts and bolts tips that you can take back. I am definitely paranoid. You are. Yes. Yes is the answer.
But what was interesting, she said about it's not usually the technology, it's the emotional attack on the person. Coming up with a story, coming up with a scenario that touches on somebody's emotions to get them afraid, to get them to react to clicking on a link. That is the part where you have to kind of really look at the situation. I feel like when anybody ever asks for, I need information on your bank, or I need, you know, anytime they start asking for money or information to get money, that should be a red flag and you should shut that down instantly.
Do you remember when you were young? I don't know if you had this, but my parents had
with me.
No,
Carrie, that was a long time ago.
Well, my parents and I had a code word. So it's like, if somebody comes to pick you up from school and they don't know this code word, I didn't send them. And, you know, I did that with my kid as well. And like, we still have that code word. Like, I think that's another one of just like, that's an old timey practical thing is like to have a code word that you don't share. Your kid's not supposed to share. It's like, no, this is just our family.
Do you remember what the code word was for you and your parents?
Yeah, but I can't tell you because we still use it. Like,
Really?
Well, yeah, because
are you getting picked up from school?
No. But here's a new scam is with voice changing software. Is like somebody could call you and be like, "Mom, they've kidnapped me. They need you to send money," and they're actually like using your voice. So I would be like, "Oh, really? What's the code word?" And if they don't know it, then I could just be like, "This is a scam." You know, like we still keep our code words safe, or we actually use our code words for things like if we need help out of any situation. So it'd be like,
gotcha.
Yeah. So I've been kidnapped. Share a code word. Exactly. Tori, you and I should have a code word in case they contact me because they're like, we got Tori. We're not letting him
all
go.
Right, let's. I say Mythfits will be our code word.
Don't tell anybody. All right, I think it is that time of the show. Do we have a listener question this week, Tori?
Yes, I believe we do. And this one comes from Dayon Tapout or Daytona Pout. One of those. Sorry for screwing this up, Daytona Pout. How often do you talk to other people from the show? And did you make friends with people from behind the scenes you still stay in touch with?
I think you and I are both still friends with a huge amount of people that worked on the show. I mean,
yeah, totally. I talked to Linda, one our producer, all the time. Ben Hansen, shout out to Ben Hansen, our cameraman. Yeah, I mean, pretty much the whole crew. I keep in touch. You kind of keep in touch with them more because you're up in the Bay Area still.
I had a long beach walk and a glass of wine with Linda yesterday, one of our producers. I still work with her on stuff. I still work with our old cameraman, Scott Sorensen. I love Yvette, Jax, Eric, like so many of our crew are still sort of my core friend group. And then every now and then I get a text from Jamie to get coffee whenever he's in town, and he's always fun to hang out with. He's always got some sort of weird, wild project working on, I don't know, drones or robots or something for the government. You never know.
Yeah. No, there's been a few characters from behind the scenes. Like, for example, my favorite is Scott Jasek. He was the guy who helped us with the two-seater IndyCar when we did the Indy Myths. And he's the guy that kind of like made all that happen. And I still see him every year because the Indy races are now here at Laguna Seca in Monterey. And he's actually coming next month. And Connor Daly will be here too. So I'm looking forward to seeing those guys. But he's one of those like kind of behind the scenes, even though he was on camera from time to time on that episode. But like, he's one of those just, I'm so glad that I met him because he's like, by far one of the most fascinating people I've ever met.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still get texts from J.D. Nelson, you know, our mm-hmm. bum tick extraordinaire. Like, I think a lot of the experts that we made friends with are still in our, just like still in our circle. Like, it was a fun show. So you made friends with the most interesting people. You definitely want to keep up with them.
And especially ones that could get you out of trouble, like all the police departments, the FBI. Like I had a couple of police officers and FBI agents that were on my speed dial, and they're like, if you're ever in a situation, please give us a call. We will probably be able to help you out of it. So
you better check. I think a lot of those guys must be retired by now. We're going to have to make friends with some new people.
Yeah. Well, thank you, MythFits, for tuning in for another episode. I hope you got some stuff out of this to keep yourselves protected. Keep your money safe and your family safe.
Stay curious, stay weird. And of course, if you want to support us in the show, please subscribe and follow and like, because the more people that subscribe to the YouTube channel and get the ad free, the longer we're going to be able to do this nonsense. Stay weird, MythFits.
Pioneer.